She opens and closes her mouth, afraid to lick her lips. She has their repair kit in with the laptop, probably hundreds of dollars worth of that other kind of Mac product. But she knows she'll never get it on again like this. But there, just down the block, is one or another branch of Parco, any of which houses enough micro-boutiques to make Fred Siegel on Melrose look like an outlet store in Montana. Less than an hour later, she emerges from Parco wearing the tape-patched Rixons, a black knit skirt, black cotton sweater, black Fagal tights that she suspects cost half a month's rent on her place in New York, and a black pair of obscurely retro French suede boots that definitely did. She has the CPUs she was wearing folded into a big Parco carrier bag, and the laptop in a graphite-colored, hip-hugging piece of ergonomic body luggage, with a single wide strap that passes diagonally between her breasts and lends the sweater a little help that way. Conversion to CPU status has been conferred with the aid of a seam ripper from the Notion section of a branch of Muji located on the 8th floor, leaving all the labels behind. All but the very small label on the hip bag, which simply says, luggage label. She might even be able to live with that. She'll have to see. All of this on Big N's card. She's not sure how she feels about that, but she supposes she'll find out. There's a coffee place directly across the street, a two-story Starbucks clone in which everyone seems to be chain-smoking. She buys a glass of iced tea, blinks at tiny individual containers of liquid sugar and lemon juice. Why didn't we think of that? And makes her way to the second floor, where fewer people are smoking. She settles at a Scandinavian-looking counter of pale wood that runs the length of a window overlooking the street and the entrance to Parco, and unpacks the laptop, phone, and manuals. She's not one of those people who won't ever read the manual, although she'll skip it if she can. 10 minutes of concerted attention has FFF on the screen, wirelessly, fully affected, so she sweetens her lemon tea and checks out the action. She knows this stage after a new segment turns up. Everyone's had a chance to view it repeatedly and brainstorm, and now the more personal, more deeply felt interpretations are emerging. She looks down into the street, where odd-sized vehicles break the flow of spotless but otherwise non-foreign-looking cars, so many cars everywhere being Japanese, and sees a silver scooter go past, its driver wearing a matching silver helmet with a mirrored visor, and what she recognizes as an M1951 U.S. Army fishtail parka, an embroidered red, white, and blue RAF roundel on its back, like a target. Flashing back to that morning in Soho, the window of the mod shop before her Blue Ant meeting,